Hey, everybody, this is Richard Deitch, and welcome to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. My producer, as always, is Lou Pellegrino. Got a bonus episode this week off the news that Doris Burke has become a full-time ESPN NBA game analyst. She will do regular season games throughout the whole year. That makes her the first woman at the national level to be assigned a full season rotation of games as a NBA game analyst. Doris Burke has been on this podcast before. She's always a really thoughtful and terrific guest. And our conversation today talks about just her morphing over to the NBA full time, what it means for her, how it came about, and also the fact that we are in a time now where there are just a lot of women broadcasters who are working traditional male jobs in the NBA. Stephanie Reddy is a game analyst for the Charlotte Hornets. Sarah Kustak just named the solo analyst for the Brooklyn Nets. And now, obviously, Doris Burke hitting the highest levels of NBA game analyst. She's always a great guest. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. Doris Burke of ESPN. All right, as promised, we bring in for a bonus Sports Illustrated Media podcast off the news, Doris Burke, who is somewhere, I believe, in the New England area, educating herself on the Celtics. Doris Burke, welcome back to the Sports Illustrated Media podcast.
Thank you, Richard. Good to be with you again.
All right, so Doris, here is why I want to talk to you. And this was a story that I don't even know if you could really say I quote-unquote broke. Let's face it, it was gift-wrapped to me from you and ESPN PR. I'll be honest with my audience. And so the news is that you are going to become a regular ESPN NBA game analyst. Now, you have done game analyst work before. What is different about this is now you are part of the full ESPN rotation of games for an entire season. You will be serving in that role. And at least based on my sort of research, that makes you the first woman at the national level to be assigned a full season rotation of games as an NBA game analyst. Cheryl Miller in the 90s had games. I'm not sure she ever had a full season, though. So let's start, first of all, congratulations. And then let's start with this. I've known you a long time, Doris. This is not, you are not an overnight sensation. You've grinded for a long, long time. There must be some immense satisfaction, though, of getting this job, because this really represents the highest level of basketball analysis for the professional game.
Right. Well, first, thank you. I appreciate it. As you can imagine, I'm pretty excited. And yes, you know, it's so interesting to me, Richard. Sometimes young aspiring broadcasters will come up to me, and there are times where I have the sense where they, because they see me on the level of event that I'm on currently, I think they think I got there quickly. And as you know, I entered this business in 1992 when I left my position as an assistant coach at Providence. And so it definitely was not overnight. I think like most people in any field of endeavor, you kind of put your head down. You do the best job with the assignments your bosses are giving you. And as you know, it's a series of ups and downs. Sometimes you don't get a job you think you wanted, and sometimes the timing of a certain situation works out perfectly because you're in the right time at the right place. And Doug leaving for the Chicago Bulls, and congratulations to Doug. You know, I know he's a basketball person through and through, and the itch to be sort of in that competitive where the games matter again was important to him. So congratulations to him. But obviously the timing of his decision had a nice impact on my assignments this year.
Doris, do you have any sense yet of how many games you'll do, or is that sort of variable based on the season?
Yeah, you know what? As you know, the season sort of unfolds over the course of, you know, the long winter months. I know this. Over the last, say, 4 or 5 years now, I think I've probably done about 10 regular season games as an analyst in the NBA. I think I'm ballparking because, frankly, I never pay attention to how many games and what assignments, but you know, it'll be definitely more than that. And remember, I'm going to do some sideline reporting as well. So I think it'll be, for the most part, all NBA for me this year, which is really, it's exciting. I love the league. I love telling the stories of the league. I love the competitive nature of it. And you know, these players and coaches have been nothing but, you know, receptive. And honestly, it's like, I feel like I walk into a room and it's as if whatever analyst is on that night, I feel just like them, just another analyst.
I want to ask you, eventually I want to get to one question about the sidelines. And, you know, Greg Popovich is in the news with his comments on Trump. We're taping this on a Tuesday, September 26th. Popovich made his comments on September 25th. But before that, Doris, this is one of the reasons I'm really excited to have you on today, even in an abbreviated podcast, is you really are an important person to ask this question. What's been happening in the NBA over the last couple of years is very interesting when it comes to female broadcasters in significant positions that historically have always gone to men. Stephanie Reddy in 2015 became the first full-time NBA game analyst for a regional network who was a woman. She's on the Fox Sports Southeast Charlotte Hornets coverage. Ann Myers Drysdale has done Suns games on and off for a long time, but this is significant. Last 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, Sarah Kustak gets named as the Nets' full-time color commentator. So the number one analyst chair for the Brooklyn Nets is a woman. And then your news comes obviously after that. How do you see this? Because this is really interesting to me. Is that the NBA is really, really at the forefront of putting women in these positions that for so many generations have gone to men. And now we're starting to see that changing where it really feels like a meritocracy. Like if you know the game and you've done the work, it doesn't matter what gender you are.
Right. First, let me say congratulations to Sarah because I know her. I know how seriously she takes her career. I know how much she cares about the assignments she's been given. And if you know her, she's an incredibly nice person on top of that. So my congratulations to her. I had been familiar with Stephanie's work. And, you know, obviously as a member of the staff side, this is exciting to me that I think the perceptions of what a woman is, you know, what a woman can do, should do, how we're looked upon is absolutely changing. And I'll say this about the NBA. To me, it has always been one of the most forward-thinking professional sports league there has been. And I mean that in two ways. I mean that, number one, when, for instance, they come under criticism, and one of the most powerful voices in the NBA is obviously Jeff Van Gundy. So when something, you know, has caught Jeff's attention and he starts to, you know, criticize the league is paying attention to that, right? Because they want their product to be fair and to be, you know, always constantly on the lookout for improvement. So they're proactive about things that matter inside the lines. And it's important, they should, because it's all about integrity and perception and all of those things. And then I would also say you have a commissioner who also is at the forefront and doesn't mind engaging in social issues. Adam Silver marches in the gay pride parade in New York City. And so to me, and I said this to you the other day, Richard, it goes beyond the NBA because the game of basketball to me has always been so inclusive. I've been covering men's basketball, certainly started on the college level, but that's where I first knew you. And going back as far as that, the objections to me being an analyst never came from inside the game. The players and the coaches have always showed me the utmost respect. And frankly, my gender to me has never felt like an issue inside of the game. I think, you know, what was foreign to the ears of viewers for a long time was that I would sit in that color analyst chair.
Right.
And so it doesn't surprise me at all that it's the sport of basketball, but specifically the NBA, where these opportunities are opening first. Because, again, I think the NBA is one of the most forward-thinking professional leagues there is.
Dar, speaking of that, again, I could do a five-hour podcast with you on basketball-specific questions, but you know, we're not going to do that now. And Lord knows if you want more publicity, do it with Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe. They have far more far more listeners than I do. But I do want to ask you, it's been kind of an extraordinary 24-48 hour period in not just the sports world, but in the NBA world, when we've seen LeBron James, Greg Popovich, Steph Curry making comments that go far beyond the sport on the court. And I'm wondering, just from your perspective as a very, very visible voice in the league, it strikes me that the NBA, once again, is one of the few leagues where, let me be specific, it is the only league where I think stars of that magnitude would hold those kinds of press conferences. So I'm not asking you to get into politics, but what were your observation? We just do not see a star at the level of LeBron James discuss some of the things he did. We do not see a coach as prominent as Greg Popovich be critical of the president of the United States. This stuff just does not happen in other leagues. Yet the NBA always, in my opinion, pushes it in terms of, I feel like, transparency to the audience.
Right, and I'm sort of accustomed to it because, as you know, basketball is the only sport I cover for ESPN, and obviously my assignments have changed. But I'm so used to hearing LeBron and Greg Popovich speak out, and I enjoy it, you know, for this reason. You know, and I don't mean to make light of where we are as a society, because we are living through difficult times, and we certainly hope that the uncomfortable nature of what's happening pushes us to a better place. But there's a line in my favorite movie, which is The American President. It's just a romantic comedy with Michael Douglas. And Michael Douglas is the president in that movie. And he said at one point in the movie, America is advanced citizenship. You got to want it bad, and it's going to hurt. And I just love that LeBron James understands the power that his voice has. And his sentiments yesterday to me about, and if anyone knows LeBron James' story and what LeBron James does, which is pours his heart and soul and his financial prowess into his community in Akron and the state of Ohio, because it's important to him. And so he sort of referenced, it's not necessarily about the need for me. I'm constantly in my community. And Greg Popovich is, you know, as smart a human being as you'll find, and his interests go far beyond the game. And so I loved what all three of those men have done, will do. And again, we have to participate in this democracy for it to work the way it's supposed to. And I will frankly admit to you, sometimes in the hecticness of my life that is, you know, or was covering three different sports, you know, sometimes I probably was guilty of not participating. But if you're not thinking right now and assessing and doing a little bit of self-examination in our country, there's something wrong with you.
That's well said. I want to, I think, finish up, and again, there's just sort of so many places to go, but let's sort of, I should ask you one, it's a terrible segment by me, but I will ask you one. Do you have a play-by-play broadcaster, like, who is going to be set with you, or will you morph between the, you know, the Mark Joneses and the Ryan Ruccos and the Mike Breens, et cetera?
Yeah, if you've noticed on our NBA coverage, until the playoffs begin, there is sort of a lot of interchangeability. So I will, at this point, I have my schedule through Christmas Day, and I'll work analyst assignments with all of the men you mentioned, with Dave Pasch, with Ryan Rucco, and with Mike Breen. And I believe I have one with Mark Kestisher.
Oh, nice.
And I enjoy, and you know, it's interesting about partnerships on air. You know, first of all, those men would handle me differently than they handle Mark Jackson or Jeff Van Gundy or Doug Collins. And you would handle all of us differently because our stylistically we're different. And I would say the same thing on the other side. Stylistically, those play-by-play guys all attack the game in different ways. And so I think it's fun, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to see all of them because they're all good friends and great colleagues.
What is your first assignment, Doris, do you know, in terms of game assignment?
Well, I actually have a preseason game on October 8th, Sacramento versus Los Angeles Lakers in Vegas. So that's my first game out of the block.
All right. Yeah. Lonzo, basically, first game there.
I can't wait. You know, I've watched an awful lot of his games and watched the Summer League, so it's going to be a lot of fun. You know what strikes me about that young man, for his age, he seems to have a great deal of equanimity. I mean, you can seem to throw whatever you want at that young man, and so far, so good, he's handling it.
All right, I'm asking one basketball question before I finish up, then, on a back to a broadcasting question. But your top line thought right now as to whether you think Westbrook, Paul George and Carmelo Anthony can not necessarily forge as an offensive unit, which I think is probably going to be the case, but can they defend enough to extend Oklahoma City deep into the Western Conference?
Right. It's a great question, and there was a little bit of a discussion with a couple of people who are at this Celtics camp with me about, you know, who do you start? Because you have what could be Roberson and Paul George on the wings as both elite-level defenders. And does Carmelo Anthony play the four, where from a defensive standpoint that would be his best position? So I'm really curious to see what happens. I think they have the potential to be great. Obviously, Melo is best guarding at the four. But I cannot wait to see how Billy Donovan puts those pieces together. I know one of the things he was most concerned about to start last season was sort of getting some flow and some rhythm and some secondary options to Russell during the season. And, you know, that was the concern outright to start last season. I can't wait to see Billy Donovan and ask him the question about how those pieces are going to fit.
Darce, you are now in a position where I would imagine that there are a lot of women in the business who are younger than you, reach out to you, want to talk to you, particularly if they have an interest in basketball. Can you give me a sense of how often that happens? And at least in terms of this announcement, this is sort of a second question. Did you end up hearing from people you might not have expected to hear from in terms of sort of just letting you know that they heard the news and were happy to see it? So first question would be on just give the listeners a sense of how often now, as someone who's in such a prominent role, how often do you hear from women, younger women in the business, who now believe that the position that you are in can one day be theirs?
Yeah, I would say that most often it's women will come up to me in environments where there's an opportunity to talk. So various conferences, if I'm on a college campus, if I happen to be in an arena that they're in, announcers on, you know, local broadcast teams. That happens quite frequently. And what was the second part of your, people reaching out. I really have to be honest and say, and I could get emotional thinking about it, the number of people who reached out to me either via text or on Twitter to say congratulations was frankly overwhelming, and you know I'm not much of a tweeter.
Yeah, right.
I should probably send out a thank you, because I really, to all of my colleagues, whoever might listen to this, my sincerest thanks for reaching out, because it does mean, when your colleagues are happy for you, Richard, as you can imagine, when people who do what you do or the players and coaches you cover are the ones to reach out and congratulate you, It's very heartwarming.
Darce, one of the things, and let's leave on this because we mentioned this off the air before we came on, but one of the things that I found that was pretty extraordinary yesterday after, the story I wrote was that on social media, listen, social media is never going to be 100% one thing or 0% one thing. But in general, the overwhelming majority of people who read your story, who read that story, were genuinely happy for you and thought, one, that it was great, or two, you know, interestingly enough, they were like, I thought she already was doing these full set of games, which is a sort of a de facto acknowledgement that they thought you belonged. You are someone who historically over the years, as you know, have been crushed on Twitter, from general criticism to the worst kind of sexism that exists. I wonder if yesterday, at least, even if you just sort of peeked at Twitter for a little bit, it must have been heartwarming, because as a general rule, it was waves of people saying, you know, congrats, great job. There were a lot of people who wanted Drake to know this news. It was a funny thing to watch.
Right. Again, it was really overwhelming, and it was. I will say I was touched, I was moved, and just as when ESPN made the call to me to say, hey, we think you've earned this opportunity, you know, that kind of commitment from the people you work for, or that kind of response from people who know what the job is, it means a tremendous amount, because they understand what it means. And so, yeah, I was blown away, to be perfectly honest with you.
Darce Burke, of course, is a ESPN NBA game analyst over the years. She has done a multitude of basketball there, including NBA stuff, college basketball stuff, women's college basketball stuff. She will still do, and this is important, she'll still be doing the conference finals and NBA finals as a sideline reporter. So, you know, whether it's Steve Kerr or Ty Lue or Greg Popovich, they're not going to get rid of her so easily. She will still be on the sidelines. Darsa, we've known each other a long time, and as you know, I'm always happy to see good people and thoughtful people and people who actually do the work get rewarded. So I was really happy to learn about that. I'm sure we will see each other around at NBA arenas, and continued success as always.
I very much appreciate it, Richard.
All right, back in the studio, we just wanted to do an abbreviated one with Dar. She's up. She's got a lot of stuff to do today with the Celtics, but I wanted to get her on just given the news of her getting a full-time run at of NBA games for ESPN. So that's going to be 20, 30 games this year, which is fantastic. She'll still do sideline for the NBA Finals and for whatever conference finals they get, but a big promotion for Doris Burke, and she's always interesting to have on as a guest. You know, if we ever did a basketball-centric podcast with her, you could do really hours and hours. I mean, she just loves and breathes and eats the game up. She was, you know, ever since her days at Providence College playing, really, truly one of the best analysts out there, and a great person to talk to. My thanks to Doris Burke. Thanks to Lou Pellegrino, who produced this podcast. Please subscribe to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast on Apple Podcasts. You could also check this out on Google Play and Stitcher. The last couple podcasts include a media roundtable with John Oran of the Sports Business Daily and Andrew Buchholz of Awful Announcing. Evan Osnos of The New Yorker wrote an incredible piece on North Korea and reporting from inside that country. And we did 45 minutes with him on what it was like. It's probably one of the best podcasts I've ever done. And before that, ESPN's Cassidy Hubberth in studio. She was a lot of fun. So please check out Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. If you like it, please give us a review, as well as a subscribe and a like. 5-star rating right now on it. So I can't thank you guys enough. Support for this podcast has been phenomenal. Again, for Lou Pellegrino, for everybody, Cadence 13, for Sports Illustrated, this is Richard Deitch. We'll see you again on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.